This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Alrighty, we're back. Evan Giddings in for Daryl, the Guru Johnson. It's a good Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen.
You got to stay out of the chat,
it's
man.
A good Wednesday.
You got to stay out of the chat.
No need to feel blue for that reason. Mm-hmm.
Ba-da-da,
yeah, no, we'll we will stop that. Listen, guys, it's just about the guy's name. It just fits perfectly with the high pitch. Mom, daddy.
The things that get you going in the morning.
And you know what else works? Interestingly,
it ain't sports.
You know what else gets, you know what else works too is Spanberger.
I think you could do it with just about anything.
Oh, you can. Jimmy Buckets. All right.
Jimmy Butler.
Hey, by the way, you were at the game, so you didn't watch the game on the broadcast. Joe Lacob was on the broadcast in the second quarter. The Warriors Foundation, since his tenure, has given away $50+ million.
Oh, that reminds me, Kuminga did catch a body last night.
Oh, on that alley-oop?
No, the one where he's almost knocked out Lacob on the sideline.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant the alley-oop dunk where he got fouled and
That was really nice.
But anyway, so they brought Joe Lacob on to talk about the Warriors Foundation. And I'll tell you what, I'm watching this game and I'm saying to myself, Warrior fans, you are so damn lucky that this guy owns a team. It was so obvious they brought Joe Lacob on, you know, to tout the Warrior Foundation and what his wife, Nicole, and he have been able to do and give away a lot of money to charity. He was so distracted because he was watching the game. He just didn't really get into it. Like, oh, you know, Bob Fitzgerald and Kalena were talking the Warriors Foundation, and he'd be like, yeah, no, we're really proud of it. Oh, come on, Quentin. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. And then he was on at the end of a run, and like Fitz said, well, I guess Steve Kerr's going to get a timeout. And Joe's like, oh, yeah, we need one. You know what I mean? You cannot question his love of the game. Like, seriously. This guy goes to all the Warrior games, all the Valkyries games. And a couple years ago, I went down and to a Stanford game, men's basketball, he's in the first row. The guy's got a basketball problem.
Well, he's a junkie, but that's why I think he's relatable for a lot of people.
I agree.
And being relatable as someone as wealthy as he is and operating in the space that he does, I think it's kind of rare. But, and I mean this respectfully, he's a fan.
Yeah, he is.
Like, there's very few times where, you know, okay, so you're watching on TV at the end of the halftime show, you know, Bonte Festus, Mola, they all come on, do their stuff, and it pans back to the arena. And usually, when the ball is thrown in, you don't see anybody on the, like, behind the benches, right? People are still from the clubs, maybe schmoozing, getting a drink. They're late to get back to their seats.
Right.
Lacob is rarely not in his seat when the second half starts. And you got to give him credit for that because, as an owner, there's probably a million people he could be talking to. And I'll tell you what, when you're at the arena, halftime ain't that long.
No,
like by the time you get down to get whatever you got to get, maybe use the bathroom, the lines are long, you kind of got to get back to your seats, and he's always there.
You know, it's funny because during the interview yesterday, I believe it was, you know, he said, of course I'm a fan. I'm the owner. Of course I'm going to be a fan. And I'm just looking at Veggie2 on the YouTube chat, and he says, Lacob is a true fan. That can be good and bad. What would be the bad, the downside of Lacob being a fan? Go ahead. Give me the pat answer, whatever it is.
There are theories, which I don't really buy, that Lacob has last call on players and roster construction. That would be the other side.
Okay.
That as a fan, he has favorites like everyone else who is a fan.
All right, yeah.
And he plays those favorites. I don't think that's how it works, but I could see from the outside with the way that he talks about particular players, it's like, yeah, he clearly likes that guy. Joe Lacob clearly likes Jonathan Kuminga.
Right.
You know, I think Joe Lacob clearly liked James Wiseman. But I don't think that he's the one saying we got to keep him or we got to get rid of him.
I agree. I mean, yes, he's got the final decision. But I do think he's very, what's the word, when you gather people?
Collaborative?
Yes, collaborative. I do think he is that. And I mean, to me, dude's going to be making emotional decisions like a fan is what the 415 says. I don't know.
I think
you can walk that line.
How many people have that perception of him?
That he's a fan? That what?
Do you think? That he makes emotional decisions because he's a fan?
I don't think that at all. I don't, like, just off the top of my head, I'm not sure that what's been the most emotional decision. Like, is it moving off Poole for Chris Paul? I think that was just money.
That was a financial decision. I think he makes...
Maybe Wiseman. Maybe the Wiseman pick was a fan type of a pick. But
again, though, if you go back and relitigate that day, Klay Thompson tears his Achilles in the morning.
Yep.
You're looking for the center of the future. Like, I kind of get it. You know, you were coming off of Curry not being available, Durant's gone. It was a bad pick. Maybe this is the worst pick in franchise history, especially considering James Wiseman ain't even in the league anymore 5 years later. But in the moment, I can understand it.
Yeah, I can understand it too. It
doesn't mean it was
right.
It doesn't make it any better, but
right. No, I don't know. I was just, if anybody out there was watching the Warriors, by the way, you see that dunk?
Which one?
That Kentucky kid?
Oh, AJ Green?
Well, I think AJ Green's on the Bucks.
Yeah, but he looks just like him. By the way, you see the amount of rookies that are playing in the league?
Oh my gosh, I got to do this.
There are so many first year guys that you ain't even heard of before that are on the floor for teams around the league. Except for Sacramento. And I guess actually the Warriors rookie didn't get on the floor last night.
I got to do this.
Didn't see a lot of Will Richard.
This is the most incredible box score I think I've ever seen. The Charlotte Hornets last night. Let me just tell you who played for them. Knipple. Rookie. Not saying he stinks. Just he's played seven games.
You got to watch him play before he says he stinks or not.
Miles Bridges.
Yeah, we're out on him.
Your favorite player, Ryken Kalkbrenner.
Kalkbrenner. K-A-L-K.
Right, like bathroom cock.
Yeah, Kalk.
Cock.
I prefer to put the L in there.
Kalkbrenner.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's a giant.
Their starting guard, Cyan James. Where's he from?
Duke.
You ought to be. You research this.
No, he was a draft prospect for the Warriors that a lot of people wanted if they had kept their first round pick. Or if they had traded it in the first round, I should have said.
Big mouth.
By the way,
KJ Simpson.
And I could be wrong about this, but I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm pretty sure Cyan James was a last-year player at Duke, but he played for Belmont prior. I could be wrong about that.
And that's phenomenal.
Okay,
all right,
who
big
else?
Mouth. KJ Simpson.
That guy I'm unfamiliar with.
What about Musa Diabate?
Dude, he's one of the... All right, Diabate, second-round pick last year or the year before. He's one of the better offensive rebounders in the league right now, I think. Kalkbrenner's, though...
Well, he got three offensive rebounds last night.
Well, he's... No, Kalkbrenner, though, is... this is how you know that height means nothing in the NBA. So he's like 7'2", 7'3". You know, he was the defensive player of the year in the Big East every single year in college.
Right, right.
Kalkbrenner?
Yeah, four straight times.
I didn't know that.
And he's second-round pick. Like, no one cared.
All right, what about Liam McNeely?
By the way, he's UConn. They stink, by
You're
the
incredible.
Way. Incredible. Charlotte stinks. Yeah, McNeely's the lefty out of UConn. He was supposed to be one of the top, I think one of the, he was like a lottery pick at the beginning of last year and then fell out of favor because Hurley ran him into the ground.
There is a guy on the roster that the Warriors should be monitoring, especially in the wake of a bad start by Altito Horford. Mason Plumlee. He got a DNP coach's decision.
Dude, he can't get on the floor for that team. The only thing I like about him is he shoots free throws left-handed.
I know, it's pretty, and he's not
he's
as bad not,
he's
as
good.
Right. 415, how about Trey Mann? I purposely avoided him because I knew people had probably heard of him.
Well, I think everyone confuses him with Terrence Mann, who's the old Clipper who now plays, I believe, for Brooklyn.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm telling you, the best thing about the beginning of every NBA season, and I don't know if people do this with the NFL too because they're all on national TV. You can kind of like watch some of the games and people got a red zone. League Pass is unbelievable because you find yourself learning – maybe not learning, but watching players in ways that you would just, you feel awful. You're like, why am I watching Orlando Charlotte on a Tuesday night?
You know why? Because maybe Desmond Bain will line a ball off somebody's face and get kicked out of the game.
Memphis misses Desmond Bain, by the way.
That team's in trouble.
Also, Sacramento is a team that I found myself tapped into a little bit also. Kenny was being nice earlier. That might be the most, I have no clue what I'm doing roster in the league from the standpoint of if you picked six guys around the NBA, you just put all of them in a pool and you said, which of these six of the, I don't know, 800 players, I don't know what it is, that don't fit, or that don't play well together, they would be on the Kings. I mean, the amount of basketballs that they have to have in practice is probably the most in the NBA. Like, you know, the Warriors have the little half courts in the practice facility.
Yep.
One guy goes and practices on one side, another guy on the other. They must have three gyms with the amount of half courts that they have to have specific to each dude. Monk, Westbrook, LaVine, Sabonis needs a basketball too. I don't think Keegan Murray does. There's somebody else I'm missing also. Oh, DeRozan.
Keon Ellis?
No. Schroeder. Keon's fine. Schroeder. That's right.
Dennis,
he's probably going to kill the Warriors tonight, by the way. And then DeRozan. I mean, they got five guys on that team that need a basketball.
I could actually see Schroeder having a good game tonight.
Oh, this is a revenge game for him.
It might be.
You remember last year?
He was pissed at the Warriors last year. I forgot about that.
Oh, which reminds me. Dennis Schroeder. All right, I got a little piece of trivia for you. Well, I kind of gave it away, but...
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Yeah, sure, if you got the music. There are four active players in the NBA right now that have scored 30 points in one game for five different franchises.
Obviously, Schroeder's going to be one.
That was the one that I was like, I totally forgot about him.
Wow.
The other
Kevin Durant.
Yes.
Okay.
The other three should have been a little obvious. So I guess I messed it up, but
who else?
Westbrook.
Okay, yeah, that's right. They have Westbrook.
They also have Westbrook.
This could be, I'll tell you what, this could be a three-ring circus tonight in Sacramento.
James Harden.
Of course. Harden. Houston.
OKC.
I forgot he was in Brooklyn.
Philly. Clippers.
Anyway.
Technically it's five. I think Chris Paul's also done it.
If you were watching the Warrior game last night and heard Lacob.
Yeah, how do we get off on this?
Because I just wanted to tell Warrior fans they're pretty damn lucky to have Lacob as an owner. Just watching that game last night, he came on in the second quarter. They wanted to talk about the Warriors Foundation. He was clearly distracted the whole interview and absolutely was just into the game. And it was just so obvious to me. And a couple people have actually texted on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line and said they were kind of thinking the same thing.
But you wanted him to talk about.
Well, I would have liked to have let him go on just game reaction kind of stuff. You know, like I think.
Like turn him into Kalena?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. Like, hey, Quentin seems to be, taking that next step. Just hearing him talk about that or, how Steph looked to you early in the season. Just stuff like that. But it was cool. It was cool. Lacob cares. That's all you can ask as a fan of an owner of a team that you root for. By the way, what do you give me for this? NBA three-point shooters are now the equivalent of NFL quarterbacks. Don't touch them. Don't hit them. Don't touch them late. Do not make contact. Do not contest. Do not breathe on a three-point shooter. That's where we're at now in the league. And, Evan, you hate to see it.
Well, not if you're a Warriors fan. That's why they made the rule.
You really hate to see basketball so skewed in favor of offense. They've got to get back to a balance, just like Kevin Durant and Draymond Green were talking about.
Well, first of all, before we go there, they made the rule because of Curry.
Well, they made the rule because the whole direction of the league's going that
way. No, because the Houston Rockets were slapping the you-know-what out of Curry's hand last year in the postseason, and the Warriors didn't like it.
I'm a firm believer.
They went to Silver and said, what are you going to do about it?
Let me ask you a question. When you shoot a basketball.
Sure. It's been a while.
And it leaves your hand. Does anything you do after the point it leaves your hand affect the shot?
Oh, what? I mean, of course.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, whether you have the gooseneck or not. If you kind of let it go a little early because you're thinking about your hand getting hit.
Well, that's different. That's defensive pressure causing you to rush.
No, that's called mental. By the way, there was another thing we didn't talk about with Lacob before we get to Draymond and KD.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason he's just like us.
I think I know.
Another way in which Joe Lacob proves he is like us.
Is it? Can I guess one word?
Yeah.
Attire.
No.
Although, he was in a hooded sweatshirt last night.
That was really good. No. He hates the Emirates Cup.
Oh, my gosh.
Just like us. He doesn't look forward to it either. Now, that might have got him in trouble. But
that was funny.
That was pure honesty. He said, what do you think about the Emirates Cup? He's like, I don't care.
Yeah, Fitz goes, hey, the Emirates Cup's coming up. He's like, yeah, I don't care. And, of course, Fitz is like, well, you guys are under league mandate to bolster it and to make it sound like it's better.
You're going to get a call from
Silver. He's like, I just care about winning. I just want to win games. And then Fitz, it's pretty funny. He said something like, yeah, but the courts are really cool. Anyway.
Just like us.
I did remember that with Lacob. So there you go. Warriors tonight, they play the Sacramento Kings. So the NBA three-point shooters are just like NFL quarterbacks.
I do like that comp, though, because you really You can't breathe on Mahomes. You can't breathe on Curry. Do you think that's the reason why there's, I don't want to say the only reason why scoring's up. I think the game is, like, the pace is a little faster than even it was last year. Teams are taking more threes. Like, actually, I think the Suns are a good case study for why scoring is up, because they're not a great offensive team. Like, let's just be honest. They might be when they get Jalen Green back and Brooks, although I kind of feel like they won't, and Brooks is an idiot. But they just take a ton of threes. And if they're making them, well, they can beat you. And like last night when they were bricking a bunch early in the first half, then the Warriors can run the score up to 25 or whatever they did.
That makes sense. And we've seen it kind of early. There's probably going to be a lot of fluctuation. The more threes that are taken, I think the more high-scoring games there can be and more low-scoring games there can be. 415, Boxer & Gerson, Work Injury Attorneys, text line. Come on, Steiny. You know better than to imply that the follow-through makes no impact in basketball shot. No, it absolutely does.
There you go, 415.
It absolutely does. So when you're practicing, and you can all watch me on YouTube because I had really good form, and you take that shot, and there's the gooseneck, and that ball is out of your hands, sure, the follow-through is important, but so what if you get hit in the hand on the follow-through? If the ball's gone, the ball is on its own at that point.
I agree with you, but the point is, if you have an injured hand, like, say, Steph Curry did in the playoffs,
okay. All right.
Then yeah. an opposing team can basically take advantage of the fact that it's not a foul and whack the bleep right. out of your hand.
That's fair. I would just say...
That's why they made the rule.
I grew up in an era where we had a saying, and it was truth.
There were a lot of them.
Hands part of the ball. Hands part of the ball.
Mm.
There you go.
Well, it is on a drive. Like, you can still whack, you know, you can still whack a hand on the way up.
Yeah. It should be that way all the way around. No, shooters are,
they're more precious.
By the way, somebody's saying, is Joe Lacob really like us? Does he drink beer? My understanding is Joe Lacob does not drink. That's my understanding.
Which I respect. I couldn't do that, but...
He drinks Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke. I could be wrong. My sources could be wrong.
But, your sources?
I'm just telling you. That's what I've heard.
What's in his cup? Someone check his cup.
You know what?
Actually, I don't think I've seen him with a cup at Warriors games.
No, he's too locked in. He doesn't even want to... He doesn't want to put a cup up to his mouth in the middle of a game. So, congratulations to... The high five, Booker Barnett says, Matt, the high five foul isn't always was a foul. No, I don't think it was.
Well,
it's a point of emphasis this year.
Like, yeah, if you hit the hand, I think, during the shot, then it was a foul. But this year, it's after the release. Like, you're seeing really good defenders all across the league fall victim to it. Like, last night, I don't know if anybody had a chance to check out the Clippers and Thunder game, which was originally a good game. Like, Lou Dort, who is... DPOY candidate, one of the better on-ball defenders in basketball. He hit James Harden on the hand like twice after releasing the ball. And it's probably because that's just what your muscle memory is built to do. So it's going to take some time for people to not. But I think it benefits the Warriors because they got a lot of quick-release shooters.
Yeah, I think it benefits the Warriors. Speaking of quick-release shooters, did you know Moses Moody apparently has changed his form? I didn't realize it. But he said he did.
I did make a tiny change. It'll be hard to explain without me kind of really breaking everything down. But just one little small thing to get a little pop under it. But yeah, other than that, just a lot of work.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I'd follow up on that so fast it'd make your head spin.
Well, he's not going to give you the tricks of the trade.
Of course he would.
Well, he told us about his defensive stance last year.
I know, and that was fascinating.
Yeah, but people aren't locked into, people are locked into him at the podium. He can't be giving away his tricks.
It looked like, here's what I think it is, like his elbow's like further in than it normally is. Like he's kind of coming like that. Like almost I can't say it because people will think I'm making fun of it. But you know how shit, remember how Michael Kidd Gilchrist would like bring it all the way over?
That's how Alex Saar shoots.
I think Moody's he's not doing that, but he's just bringing the right in a little bit. I'll go ask him when I see him, and he'll probably say, yeah, I'm doing just the opposite.
Well, but it does confirm what everybody was watching in preseason and early this year, which is, yeah, like his shot looks faster. And he's also shooting it pretty well.
Well,
so.
I got to tell you, we can get into Moody a little bit on the other side, but I also want to get into what we stumbled upon, and that's Draymond Green. We're talking about offense, we're talking about defense. Draymond had a back and forth with Kevin Durant, and Evan has got the he's been monitoring it, and he's got some thoughts on it, and we'll talk about that on the other side. The number is the numbers. Numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers, and the numbers we have are 888-957-9570. Don't forget, the Warrior Summit is tomorrow, November 6th, live from Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill. All the hosts together again discussing another Warrior season. We're going to do it a little bit differently this time around. We're going to be 9 games into the season to give it a different kind of flavor. Willard and Dibs 2-4, all the hosts 4-6. It's all live from Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill. We'll have great prizes to give away, drink specials, your chance to meet all the hosts. Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill. That's tomorrow. We'll see you there.
Pajemski with a tough defensive rebound. A good rebounder for a guard. Pajemski penetrates over to Moody. Moody not afraid to fire, and why not? He's been hot all night long. Timeout, Phoenix.
Dub Nation, this is Moses Moody coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. You're listening to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, thanks, Moses. And I know one guy who's very pleased with your performance last night, Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Yes, yes, he was.
Good news, damn it.
There you go.
It was good news. You know, like, Goose so funny. Last night, he was talking about, you know, the Warriors were saying this and that, and he just goes, you know what? I think Moses is going to have a big game tonight. I'm like, why? You know, like Phoenix or, and he's, I'm just feeling it. I'm just feeling a Moses game. And he was right.
He was really right.
Moses damn near didn't miss.
I know. It wasn't even close. I was watching the game last night, and no, Moody was really good. And Pods was good. Pajemski was good last night. He's a different kind of player, Pajemski.
Now, what does that mean?
It means that, you know, I always say your greatest strength is your biggest weakness.
Mm-hmm.
I think it, you know, for him, it's when he's on the court, he's going to impact the game. He just is. He's going to stick his nose in there. He's going to be aggressive. He might take a couple shots you don't like. But at the end of the game, you're hoping that he's done more positive things than negative things. And last night he did. But there's just something about, I feel like every game he goes in, he's going to do his thing, and it's either going to work or not. And there's not a lot of letting the game come to him, or, I don't know, just easing into a game. He's not that kind of guy.
Well, that's not his job right now, because he comes off the bench.
Well, that's true. And so, that's why I kind of like him coming off the bench more than start.
No, I do too. I think he impacts the pace of the game. Like Kurt talked about, this was pregame yesterday, he was saying basically that one of the keys for playing as fast as teams do in the NBA is you need guys that are good passers, and not that they're necessarily like they take special care of the ball, but you just have to be, you have to know where to go with the ball. And I think for the most part he does. And so to me, like, when he comes right into the game, I think his job, they're just like push everything. And if you make a couple of mistakes, that's going to happen. But he's only playing like 23 to 25 minutes right now. I mean, I think we've kind of seen what the ceiling is for him. And I think the only way that it can really improve is if he starts to shoot it better. But like, his role on this team this year to me is probably what it should be.
Yeah. And I was going to add, it's I think it's secure, obviously. Like, he might not play as much as he played last year, but in a way, he's going to have to be better than last year or more, a little more reliable if he's going to play, you know, 23, 25, 27 minutes a game. You said to me before the game, before the show, you know, Kuminga wasn't very good last night. And just so people realize, I am not a Kuminga hater. You know what I said? Yeah, who cares? They won. They won the game.
Who cares?
That's right. If you're going to throw me under the bus, what I said was was the worst game he's played, which is a compliment because he's been really, I think he's been steady.
I think he's been very good. I think he's been, if you look at the way he's played in the past and you look at the way he's playing this year, he's been very good. There's no doubt about it.
Like, I think that was the first game he didn't close last night. And he'll, to be fair, he probably would have if Moody hadn't been shooting the lights out.
Right. But I just, this is my big thing. It's like, if you don't play well and your team wins, it's like, it's a mulligan. It just is for any player, not just for Kuminga. And so we did have a little bit of a disagreement over Draymond Green.
We did.
It felt to me like he turned it over 9 times. And I only had 4. And I'm going to assume that his defense was really good, but he's throwing some bad passes. He's trying to throw
through tight. When does he not?
Well, he's always done it, but now he's like a split second late. Just a split second late, it feels like. You ready? I think he's taking too many chances with the pass on offense. He's really looking for stuff in tight windows, and that's all. I think he's been careless with the ball this year.
Well, I thought he was really good at the beginning of the game defensively. I mean, he just disrupted everything. There was like a 3-on-1 fast break that he broke. Like, he is one of the best I've ever seen at. He's backpedaling in transition. Yeah. There's a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-1, and somehow not only does he break up the first pass, but he somehow forces a change of possession. Like, I think the ball went out of bounds off the Sun, and the Warriors got the ball. Yep. Like, there's nobody better, in my opinion, than Draymond Green at that. And so that was one part. But also, I think the turnovers started to come in the third quarter. Well, he had a really bad one in the first half where he just, like, threw it to the other team. But I think Jimmy Butler not being in the game means that, like, he is trying to do a little bit too much.
That's a good point.
Because there's not another guy to facilitate, and he has to be, you know, like, him and Pods are kind of the two, I would say, connectors, if you will, without Jimmy Butler on this team.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Without Butler, an option of playing a certain way gets taken out of the equation. And that's fair. Now, the part about, you know, Curry was sick and Butler has a back issue. Steve Kerr, before the game, this is what he said about the road trip. It was just a 2-game road trip, but this is what he said, and I wonder if this alarms Warrior fans.
I could tell on the road trip that all three of those guys looked tired. I mentioned it's a very unusual schedule to start the year. You know, none of them had missed a game, and I think they just ran into a little bit of a wall, and obviously Steph came down with the illness. So we'll get through it, and we'll be fine, but it's just a really tough part of the schedule, and we'll do the smart thing.
I mean, it might be a tough part of the schedule, but then again, we're only 8 games in.
But the schedule does soften. I mean, you have to agree. Like, so this is the Warriors' third back to back already through the first 10 games.
They had
Denver, Portland.
Oh yeah, and then the one before that was
Memphis Clippers, and now this back to back, Phoenix, Sacramento.
Okay, yeah,
they've had three back to backs within the first 10 games of the season. They're also amidst a stretch where they play 10 road games the next out of 12, I believe. I mean, that's a pretty tough hand right off the rip. So the schedule is going to soften a little bit. By the way, during that road trip, you get OKC, San Antonio twice, and the Orlando-Miami back-to-back, which you didn't get until February of last year. I mean, it's a pretty tough schedule off Jump Street. You know, and so I think that, like, to me, if you're looking at the first month and a half of the season, you get it to, like, after last night, there's one home game between now and November 21st.
Well, I guess that's where my mind went, is it feels like you're in a little, not trouble, but guys are going to miss tonight, and really you're on the verge of your tough stretch right now. Like, you could say they're in the middle of it, but it's going to get a lot tougher. But again, like, to me, this is something that, you know, we knew was going to happen, and we were kind of waiting for it, and tonight it's going to be here, and so we'll find out a little bit more about the Warriors tonight, because they're playing without Steph, and it may be more than that.
Yeah, I think tonight's a prove-it game for the young players. You know,
no doubt.
Like, do they have to win tonight? No, but I think they can. And if they do, you look at the rest of the road trip, and all right, Steph or Jimmy's probably going to miss it. Draymond might miss a game. Horford's certainly going to miss a game because they have a back-to-back involved in there. I think they have two, actually. So it gives you more confidence that they can win those games when they're shorthanded. Because, like, in a way, the NBA regular season has become more about winning shorthanded games than ever before.
Right.
You have to win a couple of these games, and it doesn't really matter how you get it done. Again, you look around the league, and you see teams that don't have their stars or maybe don't have a scoring punch in, and, like, they're just figuring out how to get it done. And maybe that means tonight in Sacramento, Steiny, the Warriors are saying, we're shooting 55 threes tonight. You know, we're taking as many threes as possible. If we're hitting them, we're going to win this game. If we don't, well, we were going to lose it anyways if we try and play them straight up. Like, I think that's where you're just seeing this league go, especially with the amount of young guys, too, and just the, like, it is so volatile, the level of performance night to night with all these teams. To expect to get the same group every night, even when you're healthy, I just don't think is realistic anymore.
All right, Cyrus in Oakland on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Very fair. Five back-to-backs in a month, 7 games in 10 days in 5 cities. No other team has more than 3 back-to-backs in a 30-day span during the whole season. 5-3 is incredible, Cyrus in Oakland. I mean, could you make a case that it'd be better to have all these back-to-backs now rather than a little later in the season?
So that's something I've gone back and forth on. Logic would say yes, but your body is also just getting accustomed to the physical bombardment.
Right.
So in a way, like, I mean, I don't really think it makes a difference, to be honest. You know, if you had it in the middle of the season, well, you're probably a little more, your stamina's dinged a bit more, but you also have prepared yourself for playing because you've got a month or two in of the season. If it's at the end of the year, well, then you got a chance to chase some games, and other teams are going to be equally tired. At the beginning of the year, your body is just getting into it. So I really don't think it makes a difference, but what is undeniable to me, Sonny, is that the beginning of their season has been a schedule from hell, and they're just trying to figure out how to navigate it.
I wonder if kind of this, like, I really do feel like the Warriors were ready to play game one, and maybe it was not just ready to play game one. I feel like, you know, they were ahead of teams, and I wonder if that's wasn't a way to kind of maybe try to combat an early season schedule that looked tough, was to maybe try to maybe be a little more ahead of schedule than other teams. One thing's for sure, the bench was terrific last night against the Suns, and you know what? They have to be good again tonight, you would think.
I thought the bench was great. I mean, Moses was the player of the game tonight. His defense on Booker and his shooting, he was fantastic. You know, he's just found his groove now, you know, after missing most of training camp with the ankle. So it was a tough start to the season for him, mainly because you know, we found a different starting lineup and a different rotation while he was out, and we were doing pretty well. But he's forcing his way back into the mix for sure. And then Quentin was great, but I thought the bench, Buddy, Pat, Trace in the first half really took control of the game. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, I forgot about Trace Jackson Davis.
No, he was really good. I think at half he was like a plus 16. You know, he got hurt by being on the floor during that run that Phoenix went on when there was kind of a weird just cobbled together five by Kerr. Like, it was Spencer and Santos and TJD. It was really weird. But yeah, you saw some alley-oops. You saw him try and dunk a couple times. I mean, that's what he's out there to do.
Yeah, by the way, speaking of the alley-oop, that Potts made a nice little hook pass to Kuminga on that. That was heads up.
Buddy had a nice pass too. That was the one to TJD, the first one.
Trying to remember that one.
It was like from outside the 3-point line.
Oh yeah.
Spiked it.
Yeah, I mean, here's the other thing. If we're realistic about these two opponents, the Phoenix Suns and the Sacramento Kings, they're not going to finish in the top five of the Western Conference, you wouldn't think. In fact, they're probably going to finish in the bottom five. So I do think these are the games where if the bench can help you win them, then it shows that you can be a pretty good team. If they're able to go up, I don't care who's playing or who's not playing for Sacramento, if they're able to go up there tonight without Steph and, you know, whatever, Moody brings it home with Post and a couple other guys, you know, then I look at this team and say that's exactly how they want to do it. If they can somehow not, and I thought last night they could have gotten away with not playing their, you know, their older guys as much. I know Butler wasn't playing because the game got just a little bit too close, but they were really close to having that being a perfect game for them, I thought, because that's the game you want to come out against the Phoenix Suns and have your young guys produce, because they're more on a level with the players on the Suns team than when you play the contenders.
I mean, I also just think that if you go back to the 2022 season where they won the championship, when they went 18-2 to start the year, and I don't think this team is they're certainly not as young and not as fresh as that group, but these were the games that team won at the beginning of the season. Like the back-to-backs where maybe Curry had to sit. I was just going through a couple box scores, and there was a game in mid-November where they played on a back-to-back, and they were at Detroit, and the starting lineup was Jordan Poole, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Gary Payton II, Kevon Looney, and Andrew Wiggins. And Jordan Poole had 32 that night. Like, who's going to be the guy tonight if Curry and Butler don't play, maybe if Green doesn't play too, who's going to be the guy to carry the load?
I think there's an obvious answer.
It's Kuminga.
Right.
So this is one of the reasons why you brought him back this year. And you did not want to trade him, because whether you believe that he was going to fit in and, you know, acclimate as well as he clearly has through the first eight games, whether you thought that was possible or not, it was undeniable that a night like tonight is where Steve Kerr goes to him and says, I know you might not be happy with your role, maybe you are, but this is your night. You're going to have as many opportunities as you want to get as many shots as you want. And you know what? In fact, we're going to need you to take 20 shots tonight because ain't nobody else that can do it. So that's where, you know, if this team wants to be similar to that group that won the championship, tonight's a night where, yeah, you can go get this game.
Yes, you can. And so I wrote down three words as we were talking about Kuminga here. Hard, challenging, and then I said unfair with a question mark.
Okay.
So I got to give this guy some credit, Kuminga, and maybe I'll even want to give him twice as much credit 4 days from now. But I'm sorry. It is not easy. Jonathan Kuminga has been playing now with Butler and Curry for the first eight games, and he seemed to have figured out some things. Let's just put it that way. Okay. Now, I get it. He might say, I get 30 shots, but you're asking a lot of Kuminga. Pajemski tonight is going to play exactly like he's always played. Moody's going to play exactly like he always played. But Kuminga has to go into this game tonight and change his role a little bit. He is now the number, like, for lack of a better term, he's the number one option. Tonight, he's going to be a number one option. Last night, he was a number three option. And last night, he wasn't great, but they won. But now tonight, he's got to go to Sacramento and kind of be the man and produce on demand in a way that he hasn't produced this year yet because he hasn't been asked to do that. I just got to say, that's not the easiest thing in the world for a player to do.
No, but to be fair, he's proven he wanted. No, he's proven that he can do it. I mean, he literally went from not playing in the Rockets series to scoring 30 points in a Western Conference semifinals game. I'm not so worried about him scoring. I am worried about the Warriors winning the game, though. Like, I think he can get his. In fact, tonight is probably like, all right, oh, tonight's my night. What I think is also going to be difficult in that vein, though, Steiny, is so the Warriors play tonight, and then they...
Yeah, I have no idea who they have after this or when.
They're at Denver on Friday.
Okay.
Assuming that Curry or Butler is back from that game, what I think is going to be equally as tough as switching from the three, see, now you got to be in one mode, is right now we need you to go back to being the three.
Yep.
Like, it's one thing that he hasn't had to do it this year, so he's locked into his role. I think he's done a really good job in embracing what the Warriors are asking of him. Now, okay, he's got to be the one tonight. Tonight's going to be fun. Like, I think we're going to see a juiced up Jonathan Kuminga. We're going to see whether he makes the right plays or not, doesn't really matter. I think he's going to be excited tonight. But then on Friday, all right, JK, we need you back in the third row. You know, Curry's back. Jimmy Butler's back. That to me is the jockeying that, while he did sign up for this and he signed that contract, that's where I can see, all right, this ain't going to be fun. You know, like, you're in the limelight tonight and then you're back to being a backup dancer.
Yeah, I also think there's something we haven't thought about, or maybe we have, but we haven't mentioned it, is weren't there reports that he wanted to go to Sacramento?
Well, his agent was there last night, and I can only assume that Aaron Turner is going to be there tonight as well. The two teams that we're interested in this summer, the Suns and the Kings.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think this could be a fun night for Kuminga. I'm just saying he may have to have a little mindset change, but it's kind of the role that he always wants or always wanted, but he's not going to get it every time. But tonight, you know, the other thing is, to me, it's not, you know, we know. Like, here's the other thing. This could be another step in his evolution. I mean, we know that he could just go out there tonight and get 30 and they could get beat, just like he did against Minnesota. But now it's about getting a better look-see if he can maybe start making other guys better.
A look-see?
Yeah, you get a look-see tonight. You've never heard that?
No, I have. I just haven't heard it in a long time.
Yeah, you get a look-see at if you know, Kuminga as a one. And
a look-see.
And maybe we get to see some of the growth of his game. And he's the best player. You know what I'd like to see tonight? I'd like to see Jonathan Kuminga be the best player on the Golden State Warriors tonight and them win the game. That would be very, very encouraging. Well, 888-957-9570, and he'll have a shot at it. We got to get into the Draymond Green, Kevin Durant stuff, because you've done a deep dive on something that is so solid that people deserve to know. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Warriors Wednesday is brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live-working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.